WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So scared of breaking it that you won't let it bend. And I wrote 200 letters I will never send. Sometimes these cuts are so much.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com as well. And, well, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer/co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin'.
Doesn't this music get you hyped for the Super Bowl halftime? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Shirtless Adam Levine. Yeah. This... Oh, wait, no. I didn't watch Shirtless Adam Levine. I watched Ricochet. And Velveteen Dream. And Aleister Black. And Johnny Gargano. And Tommaso Ciampa.
And Adam... Adam Cole. Bebe.
Bebe. Fight on halftime heat. Although I did listen to the Super Bowl performance, and it wasn't bad. The comment was interesting, but yeah. We'll get into that. We're going to be talking about Halftime Heat, as well as the Marshmallow Fortnite concert. Those were two big events this past week, so we will be getting into that just a little bit later in the show. But we have a lot to talk about tonight.
You can interact with us live at twitch.tv/WTRLive, wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, at wildtalkradio, at rockradioshow, at lindsward on the Twitter machine, because yes, stuff is... breaking as we sort of speak.
That's right. So as we come to air, the AEW press conference is officially ending, I think. Yes, it's ended.
It is currently going. It's still going, I guess.
But they did announce their big signee, and well, they've made it social media official, public official, whatever. Kenny Omega is officially with AEW. He's also going to be an executive VP in the company. So congratulations to Cody and the Bucks on a major signing. They also had several other superstars
Hold on.
Who were announced.
The one thing you didn't catch because we were coming on the air, someone interrupted Kenny Omega.
Who interrupted Kenny Omega?
Chris Jericho. So it appears it will be Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho at Double or Nothing. It was confirmed that it will be Prince Pac versus Hangman Page. At Double or Nothing, it'll be SCU versus OWE. It'll be the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Bros, who have signed with the company, also at Double or Nothing. As Devils fan mentions in chat, Jimmy Havoc has officially signed with the company as well.
So lots of big, huge signings for AEW. So congratulations on them so far. They seem like they've got stuff going in the right direction. There's also rumors of them potentially having a TV deal, but nothing solid as of yet.
Right.
But they're rolling right on ahead.
They're rolling right on ahead. They have announced you can get tickets this weekend, or sign up for pre-sale tickets this weekend at AllEliteWrestling.com, which is currently down because of that. But we got to talk about Kenny Omega, because it's the big story, right?
Mm-hmm.
That everyone saw come. So is it really that big?
I don't know. It's pretty big.
But it's not major news, because we all knew he was going. Like, there was no real... Once they start teasing it on the Being Elite show the last few weeks, everyone knew Kenny was signing with this company.
Well, I think everybody knew in general. I mean, it's... Yeah, he had a pretty sweet WWE offer from what everybody understands, but the Bucks and Cody and everybody have the inside deal with him.
He stuck with his friend rather than trying something new.
Well, when it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, I don't know.
That's sort of the way I see it, is he's going to play it safe, even though it's not safe. All Elite is new, it's different, but it's the safe route for him, because he's going to stay with his people, his friend, and not take on a different challenge. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just pointing that part out before anyone, you know, it's like, it's great, he's there, it's fine, it's cool. They lured him away from New Japan, which is big.
Oh, it's huge to bring Kenny Omega back to the U.S. That's huge.
But he's playing it safe with All Elite Wrestling, from my perspective. Everyone might see that differently, but I feel that's a safe move. We'll see.
The only thing that really bothered me about it was, like, everybody getting the executive VP title.
Yeah, there's now four of them.
I mean, I get it. You need to fill out your boardroom. Not sure I'm quite okay with that, but it's whatever. It's what they want to do. It's probably part of the signing process of, hey, we'll give you a big fat paycheck, and then on top of it, we'll give you a fancy title too in the company, because why the fuck not, you know? I feel like it's that kind of thing with them. But it's their company. They can do what they want. I don't know if you should have your top stars as your EVPs or not, but okay, whatever.
But, did you know? Did you know that the Young Bucks spotted Mickie James at an airport and they hugged, right? And that means they're going to be together in All Elite Wrestling, right? That's the thing, right?
Okay, all right. No. I'm going to go off on this.
Hold on.
Right now.
Let me get them all out. Let me get them all out.
No.
Mm. Mm.
No.
Mm.
No.
Mm.
Go sit in your corner.
Mm.
All right. He made me go off on it. I'm going to go off on it. Not everybody who's disgruntled or leaving WWE or leaving a promotion is going to sign with AEW. If the Bucks so much as breathe on someone, or Cody breathes on someone, they're not going to AEW. Can the wrestling media chill? Like, seriously, it's bad when the Young Bucks tell y'all to chill out, all right? Can everybody just, like, calm down? Seriously, calm down? Are we good? Are we fine? Are we really okay, everybody? Like, is it chill now? Because I feel like it's not. Like, I've seen so many rumors fly, and granted, I don't know who's starting them. I don't know where they're coming from. I wouldn't be surprised if they aren't coming from AEW themselves, just to stir up information and stir up people about them, because that's honestly a smart marketing scheme. But yeah, the wrestling media in general needs to chill, because here's the thing. They can only afford so many top stars in their company, and they're going to bring in the people that they want to bring in before they go after bigger names. Now, in a few years, we'll see where they're at. But right now, I would suspect they have a salary cap that they have to meet. So you're going to secure your top-tier talent first, and then you're going to fill out the rest of your roster. So they've secured Jericho, they've secured Pac, and they've secured Omega. TJ, Kenny. Let's not confuse those two.
Mm-hmm.
Although he would command a very high price, too. So, because he is the end-all-be-all. So you've got those three names securing your top part of your men's roster, then you have your women's roster that you have to fill out, then you have everybody else. So to go after people like Randy Orton, to go after Brock Lesnar, you know, to go after these high dollar talents, it's like, yes, I'm sure they could afford to get them, but they probably wouldn't be able to sign anybody else. And especially in Brock's case, it's not a smart signing. Just saying, not that he's going, but I've heard that rumor too, and it would not be a smart signing for them to spend multiple millions of dollars on a man that's only going to show up like twice. So, yeah.
They played into the Brock rumor on their Being Elite show. They showed a poster of him when they were walking the building. They focused in on it. They're stirring that pot because Brock's coming. But, I have a sounder to play for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sound the alarms. The Undertaker is on Instagram. I repeat, The Undertaker is on Instagram.
But apparently, he removed WWE from his Instagram profile and Twitter profiles and just has a booking.
No, he didn't.
Wait.
If you follow the man since day one, like some people, me, Rock, you would know that at least on the Instagram, for sure, he never had WWE referenced on there. He doesn't even follow them, I don't think. They don't follow him either, so make that of what you will. And as for the Twitter, I don't think it ever had WWE on there either, and I don't think they follow him.
No. So, as you can see on the screen, from the Wayback Machine, from September 23rd, there was never any mention of WWE in the profile.
Yeah,
not a one.
He doesn't need to because he's the Undertaker, number one. He can drop that name and everybody knows who the hell he is. Number two, these are his personal booking, if you want to call them accounts, fine. But basically, he's starting to transition from wrestling life into retirement. That's very clear. And this is his way of doing that, where basically he has a representative that you email and you say, hey, I want to book The Undertaker for a signing, or I want to book him for a show, or I want to book him for this. And then they ask him if he wants to do it. And he's like, yeah, sure. No, I can't. I don't want to do it. And then they either say yes or no. And then you have to pay the fee
25,
to rent 20, The Undertaker 20, for however long you're going to rent him for.
$25K an hour.
He's expensive, so he will not be doing birthday parties unless you're exorbitantly rich.
I mean, wait, you said rich, right? Rich. They could have, think about this, because their pay-per-view is a three-hour pay-per-view. You can just give him $75,000, have him just sit in a press box, act like he's a part of the company, because reasons. Like, the dude's rich. I mean, he can pay him just to sit there. Even if he doesn't mean an arena, they could just show him sitting in the parking lot for 3 hours. Who knows?
Taker's not going to show up with AEW. That's another rumor
he could be gone with WWE. I mean, he could go there and become the phenom of AEW. I mean...
Yeah, and he can't take the gimmick with him. He can't take the name. He can't take any of it.
He can be Mean Mark from Texas.
Mean Mark Callis. Just revive that old gimmick from way back in the day.
From Texas. Yeah, Mean Mark from Texas. Yeehaw. That'd be a hell of a bat mitzvah. Yep.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a bar mitzvah, that would.
Yeah, it would. I mean...
But yeah, no, it's... Yeah, I feel like the wrestling media in general has been whipped up into such a frenzy about everything that's going on right now that they're looking for anything, any clues. And so, you know, somebody goes to The Undertaker's Instagram and Twitter and it's like, oh my God, this doesn't have WWE on it. He must have had it on there and taken it off and making the assumption. And that's not the case. He never had WWE on there, either account as far as I'm aware. He doesn't follow them. They don't follow him. I don't even know if they're aware it exists. I think they are, but they don't tag him in anything. They do not reference those accounts because, again, those are his personal accounts. They are not affiliated with WWE in any way, shape, or form. They're strictly for him to keep his presence out there, to keep his name relevant, and to basically advertise that, hey, by the way, I'm available for signings and bookings if you want to pay the big, big high dollar amount to get me to show up. Because, again, $25K per hour. And I bet you, I have to wonder, does that include travel?
I would assume travel would be
on. That has to cover his travel.
Or travel could be on top. Who knows?
Yeah. If somebody wants to find out if that includes travel, that'd be really helpful. But yeah. So it's $25K an hour just to get him to show up. No idea if you have to cover his travel, transportation, food, lodgings, if he needs it. No idea if you have to deal with that as well. But $25K an hour, The Undertaker is yours.
All right. I gotta circle back to one thing about AEW really quick. They've announced a partnership with AAA Wrestling. Cool. Go on. Just wanted to get that one, throw that in there.
Weren't they working with Impact?
They were.
I guess they're not anymore.
Guess not.
Oh, well.
We'll see.
Okay. Speaking of Impact, by the way, Impact Wrestling's next pay-per-view will be on April 28th in Toronto, and it's going to be called Rebellion.
Cool.
Awesome. Fantastic. Staying in Canada for just a moment, WWE was kind of forced to announce that the Superstar Shakeup will be taking place in Montreal for April 15th and 16th. This is after they sort of leaked their own Superstar Shakeup in a commercial for Montreal a couple weeks ago. So it's like, oops,
yeah,
they leaked our own stuff. We have to tell everybody.
Yeah, it was on Monday, and Scott Stanford's doing the commercial in front of the Montreal audience. It's like, oh. So tonight I got the alert on my phone. Oh, breaking news. WWE Superstar Shakeup. International Superstar Shakeup for April 15th and 16th.
Yeah. And, well, a couple other quick WWE notes while we're on the topic. WWE Access is going to be taking place at the Brooklyn Pier, number 12.
From Thursday to Monday.
So go check it out. WWE will be returning to Saudi Arabia on May 3rd.
Everyone get your pickaxes ready and stuff. Like, yeah, pitchforks, yay, boo, they're going to sell
pitchforks, pickaxes, you know, whatever.
Whatever, burn
sledgehammers, you know, whatever makes you happy.
Burn it down. They're going to Saudi Arabia, boo.
And Atlanta should be on high alert in 3 weeks because, well, WWE is coming back to town. They're bringing Ric Flair with them. They're celebrating his 70th birthday, which means I would not be surprised if they don't all end up in the Cheetah Club at some point. So you can look forward to that on Raw in 3 weeks from Atlanta.
Yay. So now
everybody should still be, you know, on Super Bowl stuff, so.
Right. So I have a sounder to play now.
Yeah, you have a plan, so play away.
This is the end!
You know, I had an interesting thought. Nobody is treating the XFL like everybody is treating AEW to wrestling. I was sitting at my desk at work and I had this epiphany that it's like nobody in the NFL is freaking out about the fact that the XFL is around and is being created, and you could take some disgruntled NFL players that don't maybe want to play in the league and take them over to the XFL. Like,
because there's already another league, the Alliance of Football, or American Football or something, that debuts Saturday. That's another XFL-like league that debuts Saturday on CBS.
Well, they could, or they could just go to the XFL. I mean, you know.
I mean, they're both backed by former NFL executives and stuff like that. Oliver Luck is the president of the XFL and all that fun stuff. And he had an announcement today.
He did. It was announced that they have hired their first coach. Bob Stoop is going to be coaching the Dallas franchise. Why is Dallas getting a franchise? Dallas doesn't need a franchise.
Because America.
Give Atlanta a goddamn franchise. We will screw that up so fast it's not even funny. And plus, our city takes kickbacks. I'm just saying. Like, you know, we have no like bones about the fact that, you know, we lie, we cheat, we steal, we take kickbacks. That's the city of Atlanta right there. So
maybe Bob Stoop will bring Dallas their first championship in over 25 years. I mean, the Cowboys can't do it.
Well, the Cowboys are always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate. So wait. If Dallas is going to have a franchise, is Taker going to, like, you know, sign with the Dallas franchise of XFL because he's no longer associated with WWE and be like a cheerleader or a mascot or something?
I mean, the Dallas Deadmen, could that be the name?
Could Taker be an owner?
I mean, or could it be the Dallas Tombstones?
They could be sponsored by Tombstone Pizza! Because, you know, in case you didn't know, The Undertaker and Tombstone Pizza are flirting with each other on Twitter. He actually followed Tombstone Pizza on Twitter.
Tombstone Pizza. Great pizza. If you'd like to sponsor the show, please, media@wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, we're being jerks. Sorry. It happens. But yeah, no, just as another quick note, The Undertaker and Tombstone seriously are flirting with each other on Twitter, because Tombstone sent him a message like, hey, we should totally be friends. And like 4 days later, after he saw it, The Undertaker followed Tombstone Pizza. And they put out this message like, oh my god, that worked.
Finally.
So it's like, you know, I'm not saying The Undertaker should totally be Tombstone's spokesperson, but he should totally be their spokesperson. That, and I'm just saying. But we have no blame rents, do we?
Nope.
We have no more news.
Nope.
We're out of news, so we should take a break. So, when we come back, we are going to be talking about things that were better than the Super Bowl halftime show, because there were many, many things, and there were even more things that were better than the Super Bowl in general. So, we're going to tell you all about it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back. The people we used to be, it's even harder to picture that you're not here next to me. You say it's too late to make it, but is it too late to try? And in that time that you wasted, all of our bridges burned out. I've wasted my nights, you turned out the lights, now I'm paralyzed.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? RockNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
Lately, I've been thinking, I want you to be happier, I want you to be happier. When the morning comes, and we see what we've become, in the cold light of day, we're a flame in the wind, not the fire that we begun. Every argument, every word we can't take back, 'cause with all that has happened, I think that we both know the way that this story ends. Then only for a minute, I want to change my mind, 'cause this just don't feel right to me. I wanna raise your spirits, I want to see you smile.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GerwickNet, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightPoop.com as well. And yes, we are back, and we have no pay-per-view to talk about this week, which is amazing. But we do have a big event we have to cover, and that is the Super Bowl. If you're into football, it emanated this past Sunday from Atlanta, Georgia. And
boring.
Yes. Well, let me finish the intro, because it's the one thing my city did right, and it was a wild success here. Much fun was had by all, and if anybody is curious, yes, the city was an absolute madhouse for 4 days. So, yeah. Now getting on to the actual Super Bowl, which was the New England Patriots versus the LA Rams. This had promised to be an exciting, high-scoring matchup. What did we get? We got 3-0 for four quarters, and then somebody else kicked a field goal, and it was 3-3, and then the Patriots finally decided to get off the bus and win the goddamn football game by scoring another touchdown and, I believe, field goal. Was that right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a low-scoring game. I think it might have been one of the lowest-scoring games in Super Bowl history. Boring as crap to watch for four quarters of just the defensive struggles back and forth. The highlight of the game was watching Bill Belichick drop about six F-bombs in succession at one point in the game. That was a highlight.
Over a pointless play.
Over a pointless play. Yeah. that tells you everything you need to know. And I'm not bashing the teams. That's just how it goes sometimes. But, you know, it's the Super Bowl. At least it wasn't a blowout. I have to be thankful for that. So, because I hate blowout football games where it's like 40-0. Worse than I hate low scoring football games. Because it's like, at least low scoring football games, you're like, okay, it's 3-0. They can totally come back. They can totally win this. And the Rams at one point did actually come back. They tied the game. It's like, okay, all right, they could win this. They could like get this. I think they were actually in the lead at one point, were they?
I think they were up 3-0.
Yeah, weren't they up 3-0? Yeah, they were up 3-0, and then the Patriots tied, and then the Rams had a shot, and then they got intercepted, and then it all went downhill from there. But yeah, so one thing that we have to talk about are the commercials. I'm sorry, Bud Light and Game of Thrones win the goddamn night. They really, really do. If you missed it, Bud Light did a thing with Game of Thrones where you had the knight, the mountain kill the Bud Light knight, and then Drogon showed up and torched the place. That was good. That was cute. Not cute, but that was good. That was really, really, really good. Like, I feel like the commercials were really mixed in terms of how good they were and how not good they were, but I liked the NFL 100 commercial. That was super good.
That was really good. I liked the one. I didn't like it for the commercial itself, but I liked the product. It was the Hershey's M&M candy bar. I was like, oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, that does sound really good. I want to try it.
But beyond that, 75% of the commercials have like a depressing theme to them, whether it's the music or the theme behind it. They all suck. What happened to creativity? Oh wait, it went into these nuts.
I'm sorry, I think that's a really clever marketing campaign.
It is, but that's as clever as you got. These nuts. Get it?
Anyway. So that kind of covers the commercials and the Super Bowl itself. Yes, we did in the halftime because it featured Maroon 5 mainly, as well as Big Boy and Travis Scott.
I think so. I didn't pay much attention. And listen, I wasn't fully paying attention because I was watching something else. I was watching something more entertaining, something awesome, something that should be talked about for ages. It'll go down in history just like the empty arena match between The Rock and Mankind from Halftime Heat in 1999 for the WWE Championship. I was watching WWE Halftime Heat featuring NXT. This match was awesome.
We'll get there. Anyway, this featured Maroon 5, Travis Scott, and Big Boy. We had Comets. We had Fire. We had a SpongeBob teaser because there was a movement for them to play Sweet Victory at the Super Bowl. They started to tease it, and then we got noped by the Comet. So everybody was really pissed off about that. But yeah, so the halftime show at the Super Bowl itself was fine. There wasn't anything wrong with it. I've seen a lot of people pin it as boring, that it wasn't really that interesting, and a lot of people are pissed because Big Boy only got like 5 seconds on the whole halftime show, which is true. And then it's like, because I was sitting there and I was like half watching in and out of the corner of my eye, because he comes out in a Cadillac in this like giant, beautiful fur coat. I'm sitting there and I'm like, do I just need to go to the PETA Twitter and just sit on the PETA Twitter and just wait for it? And sure enough, the very next day, it's like, PETA condemns Big Boy for the fur jacket he wore at the Super Bowl. And I was like, there it is, right there. True to form. So anyway, so that is the Super Bowl halftime show in a nutshell. If you want to go watch it, I'm sure it's on YouTube. But we're going to talk about the more exciting thing that happened during the halftime show of the Super Bowl, which is Halftime Heat. Emanating from the WWE Performance Center, you had Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Adam Cole. Bebe taking on Ricochet, Aleister Black, and the ever extra Velveteen Dream, who came out in his own football inspired gear.
Like I just mentioned, this should go down as one of the most historic moments in WWE history because it was an awesome halftime heat. It was an awesome match. They went about 10-12 minutes and it was all action all the time. It was great. It was should be more considered for one of the top exciting matches of the year because that's how awesome it was. I mean, there's some that could say, yeah, it's just a match, but it was a really good match. Like, everyone got a moment to shine. Everyone delivered. But more importantly than that, I love how they turned the PC into an arena for a little bit.
That was so cool.
Like, they figured out a way to make the PC look like, oh my god, this is a legit building. They about 300, 400 people in it. They were all family and friends who were in the crowd, because you can't really bring out any other really people into the PC that are authorized. So they're having a Super Bowl party, and they brought them, hey, come see a wrestling match. So that's what they did. You had Vic Joseph, Shawn Michaels on the call, Shawn... love Sean. He was so into it. He was putting over his kids. It was awesome. Everything about the halftime heat was awesome. There's not a criticism I can give it.
I need Ricochet to stop making me pregnant. Thank you. I need Johnny Gargano to stop doing the same. If they could stop doing it together, that would be even better. But yeah, this was fabulous. This was fun. It was entertaining. The crowd was super into it. And I really love how they did this. They pulled it off flawlessly. No problems on the network. And it was just a fun little thing that you got to see. I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. It was really clever. And I hope they keep doing it. Like, I hope they do it again.
Yeah, they have.
Every NFL game, we get halftime heat.
No, you can't do it. You gotta do every Super Bowl. I'll be okay with every Super Bowl. That's just me.
Every game.
You can't do it every game.
Why? Because
not every game is in sync with each other. Just saying. When the Falcons go to halftime, it's not the same when the Eagles go to halftime. Just saying.
Yeah, because the Falcons don't come back out of the locker room.
Ooh. Anyway.
Just saying.
Anywho.
I love my team, but I'm also very realistic about my team. Know your team. Know that they suck. And just accept it and move on with your life. It's much easier that way. Anyway, but that wasn't the only exciting thing that happened this past week. Because something else happened. Something more exciting than Halftime Heat happened. Because I will admit, Halftime Heat was really, 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 really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something even cooler that happened the night before. In case you didn't hear, and you don't follow video games, which I know people listening may not, Epic Games, who is the producer of Fortnite, worked in conjunction with music superstar Marshmello to create a custom event for the game in which Marshmello performed quasi-live in-game in real time. So what this means is they created a special mode for this where you could go in at a specified time and you could watch the concert in the mode. They turned off all elimination function in the game. So that means for the period of the concert, while it's going on, nobody can be eliminated, nobody can do anything except watch the concert and enjoy. You can run around the map if you want. But the concert was the main place that you needed to be because it was about 10 minutes long. You had Marshmello for the initial event because there was the initial and then there was a replay of it. For the American event, I'll call it, was actually live in the game speaking and interacting with the crowd. Think about that. In real time, you had Marshmello broadcasting across Fortnite. All the consoles, all the computers, all the mobile devices, iPads, you name it, everywhere that was in this game mode, playing this game at this particular time, because this was the only mode available to go in and play, Marshmello was live. Do you have any idea how insane that is? And then on top of that, they gave a full-on, like I said, 10-minute performance where they did 3 or 4 songs.
At least more, like 5 or 6, maybe.
Yeah, a full concert by Marshmello featuring holograms, lighting, the little backdrop screens, and then on top of it, because Epic Games just has to be this extra, they screwed with gravity. They made it low gravity. They made it no gravity. Everybody flew at one point. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I don't even know if I'm describing it. Like, I'm sure everybody's like, oh, this sounds really, really lame. It's like, no, this was cool as hell. This was really seriously cool as hell to not only watch, but also be a part of, to experience. Like, I actually stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning to do the second event just so I could be a part of it because I missed it the first time because I was doing stuff during the day because they did it like 2 o'clock in the afternoon during the day. And so I was like, oh, it's busy, so I can't go in. I stayed up 12 hours later to go in and do this because it was like, I have to experience this live, and it was so worth it. It just was amazing.
The live audience right now can see it on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTLive. If you're listening to the podcast and would like to see the video we're talking about, youtube.com/RockRadioShow has the full concert video up there now. You can go to on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTLive, under the highlights section, you can see the three of us, myself, Brent, and Lindsay, react to the concert live the second time. It's the one she stayed up for. It's in the highlight form with the whole audio and everything like that, so you can get our live reaction to that. But this was an amazing. The graphics they did for it was awesome. They already released the Marshmello skin. It was the concert weekend they put it out for people to buy.
Yeah, it came out that weekend. They also had the glider, and then they had a whole marshmallow event challenge where you could get a spray and an icon and a pickaxe.
Yeah.
To complete the whole set.
But yeah, they did it. The robots, the hologram robots were cool. The lighting, like, being in it, you don't get to see the full thing. So that's why I went back into the replay, and you get to see all the lighting, all the flames, all the pyro and everything. Like, you really got to see the full thing, and it's like, holy crap.
They went all out for this, and I mean, there was about 70 different ways this could have gone wrong for them, because if everybody remembers the Ice King event that they did a few weeks ago, a lot of people had trouble getting in, they got stranded in queuing, and they missed it, because they could not get into the game in time. Epic made sure everybody was able to get into the game, everybody could be at the event, nobody was going to be a jerk and like start shooting people in the event, because again, that's not what we want, and that's not what we want to encourage. So they were smart about this whole thing. They put an entire thought process into this, and then on top of it all, they did it. I think they did it all live.
What do you mean?
I know Marshmallow's portion of it was live, but I have to wonder if they were screwing with the game mechanics live.
No, I think everything else was preset.
Could be.
Because you have to be able to preset all that. This was really cool. I love that the big thing was they gave it its own mode. So it's like they disabled everything else and they funneled everyone into this mode. Go, hey, go in here. This is how you got to do it. You'll have plenty of time. Don't worry about it. Just get in there. Fight a little bit. Then you'll do this. Disable fighting. And then fight some more. And I hope they do this with everything. Make it their own mode. They have the capability now. It's like, this worked. Everything was a success in this mode. It's like, hey, we'll disable everything. Show you the event. And then go back and fight it. That's the way the big events in Fortnite should happen. Because that way everyone can experience it. So you don't hear, you don't have people like killing you and then you miss the event and people complaining. This, you gave you respawn when you got killed, so you were in for the moment. That's what needs to happen going forward.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm really on board for that, where it's, you know, for that event. Because again, I think they learned a lot from the Rocket, and every time they do an event, they tweak it and they change it and they do something a little bit different. But the thing with the Rocket was, that was the first really big in-game event that they did where people could go in and watch. And so you had a bunch of people, and there was, across the community, there was a truce called where all the players going into the modes would, you know, for that 3 minutes or whatever it is that this was going to happen, nobody was going to shoot each other. Nobody was going to try and eliminate each other. Everybody was going in strictly to watch the Rocket.
But then everyone started killing each other.
Right. Well, and a lot of people did adhere to that. Like, a lot of people went in and just stood around and watched the Rocket happen, and then all hell broke loose. But, like, there were people going into the modes where it's like, oh, I don't care, or F that, or I want to get my kills, or whatever, and they would go around and they would kill people. And they were getting cheap kills because people were standing around, they were defenseless, they didn't have any weapons generally, and they could just take them out. And so a lot of people complained about that, because it's like, you're always going to have those dicks that go into the game and do that. Like, you are. So it's like, every time Epic does it, it's like the next time they did it, they allowed the next, I think, couple to be in Playground, where you could see it in Playground in a safe environment. And now it's like, okay, well, we're going to funnel it into its own mode. We're going to turn off eliminations. So, hey, guess what? During this part of the game, you can't hurt each other. So you can run around and do whatever you want, but if you want to go to this concert and you want to have fun and you want to experience it, go right ahead. Otherwise, you're just going to be standing around for 10 minutes.
Pretty much.
Doing nothing. So they were really smart about this, and I do hope they continue this for, especially for like as the end of season 7 approaches and season 8 begins. I really hope they apply this.
Yeah, I hope so too.
You know, when the volcano happens and the dragon pops out and we get a drama, you know, dragon llama combination, and I was totally right. And I get to come on the air and say I was totally right, even though right now we don't know if I was or not. I would be okay with that.
Did y'all just catch that subtle thing she just dropped, how she did it?
But yeah, so any final thoughts on the Marshmallow concert?
It was a great event. I want to see more like that. I want to see what they do next.
Yeah, this, and just to kind of give you the numbers real quick on this, we should probably talk about that. How many people did they have live?
At least they're in-game, there were 10 million people playing it. On streams, there are over almost close to 2 million watching it. And that does not include all now the YouTube archives and all that reaction videos.
Yeah, that's just live. Think about that. Think really, really, just think about that. So that's what, 12 million people?
Yep.
watching this event total, not live, not including YouTube at all, which the YouTube numbers I think are as equally insane, if not more insane.
Oh, the YouTube,
that's a lot of people.
The YouTube archives are insane at this point. It's amazing. It was great. It was a great event. Give us more.
Like, yeah, Epic deserves to be applauded for this, for pulling this off. Because like I said, this could have gone wrong so many different ways, and it didn't. It went off flawlessly, and Epic should be extremely proud of themselves for this.
Indeed.
And they should give us more.
I agree.
All right, so we're going to take our second and final break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about SmackDown, NXT, Tweet of the Week, all your favorites. So you'll see in the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. We're dreaming on and on.
We got the windows down, we got the windows down. I'm chasing all the colors in my head.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Nieuwendyken. Nieuwendyk.
I'm going to go with Nieuwendyk.
Yes,
Nieuwendyk. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt, not Matt.
Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the
Messier.
Hell?
Messier.
Somebody
hang this guy. Lynch him. Get a rope.
He has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till I get to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a T. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hull versus Ray Borcu.
Bjork? That's fucking Finkel.
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel Bure.
Oh, God.
Wait. Pavel Bure. What? How did I was pronounced?
Bure.
Bure.
Okay.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
French. Jerome Ignilia.
Aginla.
What?
Aginla.
versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, Sakic. So I'm going to go with Joe.
I will move Joe Sakic on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas. Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
I feel like I'm trapped, like
you're
feeling
trapped.
Of living in a padded cell.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's our OCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
everyone. This is Angelina Love, your 6-time knockout champion and the sacred seductress. And you are doing the right thing because you are listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, if you can take it. All about your dad, if you can.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you could, quick second, check out the fine folks over at FiveBoot.com as well. And yes, we are into our third and final segment of the evening. And just to let everybody know, there will be Fortnite with Friends later after the show. So if you're looking for that, everybody stay tuned. We will be on that just as soon as we get done with the third segment. But you have to sit through this first, which means Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Mrs. Dr. Lupo, Orkin guy comes to the house to work and I am editing boudoir pictures and watching a documentary on abduction. Nervous laugh. Dr. Lupo, this Monday is going to be nuts. Was shown a new Battle Royale game by Respawn that I had no idea was on its way, and hot damn, it's good. Noah J. 456 responds, if you zoom in, it kind of looks like I actually have a hairline. Thanks so much, Dr. Lupo. And I should mention that the original tweet has a picture of him and Noah together. And Dr. Lupo responds, true friendship. That's all I have.
Kevin Owen, I just wrestled Adam Cole for the first time in 4.5 years. There was exactly one spectator. He gave it 51.25 stars. Someone asked, what was it? Why, 2.5? Why not 0.50? The finish was a hip toss. Kevin Owens continues, I appreciate the people getting excited after my tweet earlier today, but I'm beginning to put some furniture together in my house just now, and I'm not coming back to WWE until I'm done with that, and I suck at it, so I'll see you all in a few months, maybe more. Thank you. Take care. Ninja, why do tags in clothing still exist? Dr. Lupo, to tickle your neck and remind you of me. Late night with Seth Meyers. Due to frigid temperatures, railroad tracks in Chicago are set on fire in order to keep trains running smoothly. While in New York, we have no idea why our train tracks are on fire. It's a thing. Tim the Tapman. Bro, Dak just walked by me and I didn't say anything. I'm a coward. Courage, Sheedy. Get your hand tacks removed. You don't deserve them. Means true. Headline Comics. In fairness, Tony Romo got a lot of teams to the Super Bowl, just not the Cowboys.
Ouch.
So there was a rumor about AJ has resigned, whatever. Full respect to AJ, however, I stand behind the story, and time will tell the validity of the story. Well, yeah, if he does resign, I mean, that would tell the validity, right? Eventually, he'll resign. Tyler Breeze, full respect, you're practically calling him a liar. I respect you, sir, but yes, you did sign that piece of paper, and no one can tell us differently. Sincerely, with all the respect in the world, the internet. Mickey James, who the hell is Stan? Hurricane Helms. Last name back? Get it? Get it? Stan back? Get it? Jake from State Farm. So far during the game, we've had a near choking, a home invasion, and the incineration of a small village by a dragon. I'm going to need some hugs after the commercial breaks.
Aww, poor Jake.
Steve Broadband. Patriots 3, Rams nothing, Maroon 5. Drew Gulak, there are so many penalties already in this halftime heat match. Maroon 5 couldn't lace Adam Cole's boots, says Drew Gulak.
Ooh, them's fighting words.
Courtesy to Marshmallow in Fortnite, greater than actual Super Bowl halftime show. It's not even close. He's right. Wendy's, announcer, it's getting exciting now. Narrator, it wasn't. Jess Blevins, Tim got more coverage on the celeb cam than Tyler and I. Lupo, is this a size joke, Jess? Wow.
Okay, so just to clarify that, because I don't think people are going to get it. Mm-hmm. At the Super Bowl, Tim and Ninja were there, and they showed Ninja at one point on, like, the in-game camera, and Tim gets up and, like, stretches, and he stretches across, and all you can see is the very, very top of Ninja's head. But he makes sure to flash the back of that sweet jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much. Young Bucks. Super Punt Party. That was actually creative. Because that's what it was. Corey Graves, dear Velveteen Dream, I apologize. You should never aspire to take your talents to the global stage or the money that comes with it. The internet has taught me that it's bad for you. Sincere apologies, Graves. Because he was like, why isn't Dream on the main roster after that performance? And the internet was like, but he should stay down in NXT, lol. And they were harassing him over it. Let the man come up to the main roster, guys. It won't be so bad. We promise, maybe?
Wait.
It might be good. It might be good at some point. You know? Anyway. Glenn Macnell. I think we've learned tonight that if the NFL wants another entertaining Super Bowl, they need to bring the Eagles back. He's not wrong.
As just as long as Jason Kelce gets to wear the mummer outfit and he gets absolutely wasted beforehand. That's the only way this is going to get, like, super entertaining. Because, you know, they're from Philly and they don't care.
Bully Ray. Eat. Sleep. Punt. Repeat. Super Bowl 53.
That was kind of it.
Trent Dilfer. This will be the surest Super Bowl highlight in the history of SportsCenter. Yep. Gritty. We all know Gritty, right?
The possessed Philadelphia Flyers mascot, yes.
He was live tweeting during the Super Bowl.
He can tweet?
He has a Twitter. He first tweet, I'm bored, but my dip game strong. I have more dips than points right now. Do you see where this is going?
I don't think I want to know.
When I dip, you dip, we dip. Get it? And finally, send dip pics. Oh, that was funny. And finally, for those from EC3, for those acquiring minds, EC2, watch my debut victory from the comfort of his leather chair, Betsy at home, and EC1, watch from the comfort of his leather chair, Bernie in heaven. Thanks for asking, Dean.
The follow through is amazing. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Tweet of the Week. And now we do SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, on Monday Night Raw, the man was suspended. So, on SmackDown Live, Charlotte Flair made it clear that she is willing to step in and possibly seize the opportunity if one were to arise for the main event of WrestleMania against Ronda Rousey. But the man decided to show up on SmackDown Live. Charlotte, as Becky was coming through the crowd, mocked Becky stealing her father's catchphrase and then stealing Roman Reigns' entrance. Security stopped Becky from getting into the ring. Triple H came out to confront his children, scolding his children, sending Charlotte to her room.
Yep, that happened.
He said, this doesn't concern you. Get out of the ring. He told Becky that she's suspended and that all she has to do is make this go away. See the doctor, get cleared, Becky. All you gotta do, you can go to WrestleMania. Becky then asked, how's Steph? And is she medically cleared after she was punched in the face?
Okay, but what legit made this was the fact that you had, like, Adam Pearce and about six refs in the ring, and Adam Pearce is trying to coax Becky Lynch out of the ring, and he's standing right behind her, and the second she goes, how's Steph? He gets this for fuck's sake look on his face that's just priceless. Yep. It's absolutely priceless. It just sells the entire moment. He's like, God damn it, Becky. No, we were this close. We were so close. And she just has to take the shot.
Then Hunter said he finally gets it. He gets why the man, what this is all about. The man isn't real. It's just self-destructive act of fear. He called Becky a fraud. Questioned whether or not she was actually injured. He said this was all in an act. Just like when Survivor Series came around, she went to Raw on a suicide mission, knowing what would happen, and she found herself an excuse. He said she had to destroy her own opportunities because she was afraid of being exposed. Now she has another excuse in her knee. Hunter said that she would try to say that she doesn't want a doctor to tell her to go to WrestleMania, but in reality, she's just afraid that the doctor would tell her she has to go to WrestleMania. He told her the man is just an act, and then she's afraid that if she goes to WrestleMania, Ronda Rousey will expose her for the fraud that she is, and the knee injury is just a cover story for the real issue, which is that Becky Lynch fears Ronda Rousey. Triple H told her, prove him wrong, and then she slaps him right across the face, and they have a stare down before Becky walks away.
Becky versus Hunter. Becky versus Hunter!
This was a good piece of business. This sold it so well. Hunter bringing up the point that she could be faking the injury. Maybe she is scared. What is it all about? But here's how far we've come. 2 years ago, this one would never happen. Two, if Triple H was berating somebody in a ring, cutting the promo on a female, they would be backed up in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
She looked them dead in the eye the entire time. No emotion. Just stare there and watch. Listen. She stared him down. She wasn't afraid of him. She wasn't afraid of anything he had to say.
It was spectacular. This and Monday Night with Becky Lynch solidified her as the top star in that company. This, like you said, this never would have happened 2 years ago, but the fact that she had a segment with Steph and with Hunter in the same week was just absolutely amazing. I love that you had her standing strong and defiant against both of them. I loved Hunter's general reaction to it, and I think he actually kind of likes getting slapped around a little bit by the girls. Call me weird, but he just seems to be really into it as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Getting thrown around by Rhonda, now getting smacked around by Becky. I mean, you know. But this was great. This was absolutely fantastic TV, and it just sort of... I know Becky's getting a lot of comparisons to Stone Cold, but I don't think that's 100% fair to Becky, because I feel like while Becky is sort of rallying against the authority and rallying against the status quo that is Ronda Rousey, she's not doing it in a way that is like Stone Cold. She's doing it her own way. She is standing absolutely defiant to anything anyone tells her. So it's like, come hell or high water, I'm going to do what I want to do, F everybody else. Whereas Stone Cold was like that as well, but I feel like 90% of what he did was to piss off Vince McMahon, like, every day. He, like, Austin would roll out of bed, and it's, how can I screw with Vince today?
Mm-hmm. Also on the show, Rusev and Nakamura defeated the Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson. Fine little match.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Randy Orton beat Mustafa Ali with an awesome RKO out of nowhere. After the match, Samoa Joe attacked Randy Orton, attacked Mustafa Ali, approached Daniel Bryan as he was coming out until Eric Rowan got in his face.
And Joe and Eric flirted.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, you're big. Let's fight.
Joe made mention afterwards that he will get his hand raised as champion at the Elimination Chamber. Daniel Bryan got to speak in front of his people in Washington. He's their favorite son, after all.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how the new WWE Champion is a symbol of change. Rowan talked about how they're great thinkers, and everyone fears their ideas. He says as long as Daniel Bryan is champion, they will try to silence him. Bryan says they will try to silence him because they do not represent corporate greed or just money, but he's the planet champion. I like Daniel Bryan's promo.
It's good. He's playing this so well, and it's fun to watch. I know a lot of people don't like it. I've actually seen a lot of uproar about it. Especially with him changing the title, there was a lot of controversy surrounding that. I saw a lot of people saying, oh, they disrespected the title, they did this, they did that. It's like, but did they really? Is it any different than when John Cena changed the title? Is it any different when Miz did it? Is it any different than when, you know, Stone Cold did it, Rock did it, Taker did it? Mm-hmm. I mean, is it really that different than that, aside from the fact that Daniel Bryan threw the belt in the trash, but he's a heel character. It's symbolic of that. Like, I don't feel like they're disrespecting the belt by changing it. I feel like they're doing it a service. They're actually elevating Bryan because they took the time to get him a customized belt. And Naomi, let's not forget Naomi. She customized the belt as well. Forget Naomi.
Yeah, I was about to mention her. Speaking of Naomi, she and Carmella are in the tag match at Elimination Chamber. They also took on the iconic duo, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, and Sonya Deville and Minnie Rose, now known as Fire and Desire.
Okay.
Fire and Desire got the win in this triple threat tag team match.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan lost to Jeff Hardy by disqualification. Everyone brawled. Samoa Joe tore through people. And then AJ Styles showed up, laying out Daniel Bryan.
Things are getting interesting.
Good SmackDown.
Very good SmackDown. Very entertaining.
NXT?
NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Okay, while there's great stuff with Ciampa and Gargano and Dream and the six-woman tag match and what have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is an Eric Buggenhagen and what the hell was he doing? Him dancing to the ring, screaming like a girl, what the hell?
I don't know. I just don't know.
I was so confused by him. Weird. He's a rocker. He was drumming the ropes and things like that. It was weird.
I don't know. I just don't know. He's trying a thing. Let him be free.
Anyway, Jackson Riker defeated Manny Fabrino. Drew Gulak defeated Eric Buggenhagen, who then...
A good match.
It was the final match. Then Drew Gulak was like, I'm the best submission artist here in WWE and best submission specialist, and he wants to see if anyone out in the back challenge him. So out came Matt Riddle. Kicked off his flip-flops. They had a
Wait, bro.
Lit.
Bro. Matt Riddle? I mean, bro. That had to be lit.
It's good submission wrestling battle between the two, which saw Matt Riddle get the win as well. Io Shirai, Kairi Sane, and Bianca Belair defeated Shayna Baszler, Marina Sharif, and Jasmine Duke. A little controversy at the end when Bianca was tearing through people. Io Shirai got tagged in and got the win. Bianca was like, but I want win. I want win over champion.
I will take the points and run.
But then the opening segment was really good. You had Johnny Gargano talking about his championship victory. He's validated. Johnny Wrestling is back. Tommaso came out. He's not a hit. He wasn't out there to take away from Johnny's moment, but to set to celebrate. He showed Gargano showed the world that what champ already knew that Gargano knows how to follow the lead of the NXT champion. And he talked about how we own the world. And well, fans were chanting DIY, and Gargano's like, this isn't our moment. This was my moment, and that Gargano will never need Tommaso. Velveteen Dream came out. He said it's not about Johnny Van Ness or Gollum and his Goldie. He said the Dream stole the show at TakeOver just by showing up. He talked about how he won a title shot by winning the World's Collide Tournament. And then he went face-to-face with Ciampa and said, I don't want you. He wants Gargano. Fans shan't take his title. And then he talked about how he is going to take the title from him. But he wants to know, will it be Johnny Champion? Or Johnny Jackass when they get in the ring with each other. Really good promo.
Very, very good promo.
We also saw a confrontation backstage with Ricochet and Adam Cole leading to a match next week. All in all, fine episode.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Really good. But that's our show.
That's our show, so you've got stuff to plug.
We'll do Saturday Night Midnight-ish. It is CB Radio. The weird, the wacky, the unusual. We'll have the greater than great debate. We'll have all the things you know and love about CB Radio. What it is, we'll find out. Saturday Night Midnight-ish. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio returns. Preview the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. We'll be back Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack, as we'll preview the Elimination Chamber. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as YouTube, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. It's The Rack Radio Show on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. To search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow and subscribe. Make sure you use promo code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Especially in the next couple weeks. There's a lot more money. You can support the channel and stuff like that when you buy skins and whatever. But if you use my code in the Fortnite item shop starting tomorrow, when the new update happens, you'll be able to get a free weapon wrap. Weapon skin. So you use the promo code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Bam. That's all I got.
Alright, well, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LANSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, FightBooth.com, MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So everybody hang tight. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to keep the stream up. We're going to be live. We're going to round up the squad. And then we're going to be back with Fortnite with friends. So till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.